First up on Express Yourself, we speak to author Daryl Munsell, author of Protecting a Valley and Saving a River. Listeners will have a chance to meet Daryl at the historic Thompson House in Carbondale tomorrow. Daryl, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me, the pleasure is all ours. So you have a new baby to celebrate because, as you were just telling me off air, this new book is only a few weeks off the presses.
It's 3 weeks old, yeah. It's been many years in the progress. I'm working on various other projects, and those projects kept getting in the way of this project, but I'm glad it's done. I really enjoyed doing it.
Funny how that happens, right?
That's right.
I don't think I've ever met anyone in this valley who only wears one hat.
I think you're right.
So, can you just start off and tell our listeners a little bit about the book? Because it is a nonfiction and really delves into the history of this place we call home.
That's right, yeah. It's a history of the Crystal Valley Environmental Protection Association, known as ZVEPA. ZVEPA was formed in 1972, a group, a very small group in Marble, organized the organization to protest the Marble Ski Area proposed development. And then shortly thereafter, while they were in the process of protesting the Marble Ski Area, another major project was proposed for the valley. That was a Bureau Reclamation project called the West Divide Project. And the West Divide Project is a very complicated thing, but simply it proposed damming the Crystal River at two different places. One place that they wanted a large reservoir was just north of Redstone. It was called the Osgood Dam. And had that been built, Redstone would have been flooded. It would have been destroyed. Kind of like the community of Red Eye, when the Rude Eye Reservoir was constructed. So ZVEPA protested the project, the West Divide Project, which was designed to divert water from the Crystal River over to the divide area, the mesas south of Rifle and Silt in that area. And the main purpose, the government's main purpose for proposing this reservoir was to supply water for the oil shale development. And of course, the oil shale development never developed. It went really bust by the early 1980s. But the West Divide Project, more specifically, the River District, the Colorado River Conservation District, and the West Divide Conservancy had water rights on the Crystal River. And as long as they held those water rights, they continued to propose various versions of the West Divide Project. And so ZVEPA fought them tooth and nail for over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And finally, other organizations and governments got involved. Pitkin County really got involved in helping ZVEPA. And then finally, a few years ago, about 2013, in fact, the river districts abandoned their water rights on the Crystal. So that meant, as far as the West Divide Project, the dams and the water diversion would not proceed.
Right. You know, it's so funny. I never heard that old adage that, you know, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting until I moved out here, and it seems very apt.
Well, moving and living in Colorado, you know that for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow, it's so funny to see how, I mean, I imagine, especially in Marble, I resisted making the quip when you said a very small group of people that formed this advocacy group, I was like, well, Marble isn't every, just by relation of population, every group is going to be kind of small, but you know, it doesn't matter. You're small but mighty. That, do you remember how many people were in the original group in 1972 when they first formed?
Probably, I would say about five, six.
So five or six people were the beginning.
And they were either, well, there was one resident from Crystal above Marble.
Wow.
And three or four others from Marble. And then shortly thereafter, their membership mushroomed. And members from all as far away as Grand Junction and Glenwood Springs joined. And so the membership of ZVEPA reached, well over 200, maybe even 300 in short order. And there were some important people who really joined ZVEPA or supported them, like Governor Richard Lamb joined.
Oh, goodness, really?
He was a very enthusiastic environmentalist.
Oh, I know. I got to interview him via email years and years ago when I was in journalism school. He's a very passionate environmentalist. He was very passionate about, you know, some of his concerns about the national debt. That's amazing. I love that.
That's right. I had, you can't give all of the credit to ZVEPA, but had they not intervened, and they were the first of the environmental groups and other entities to protect, to organize, to protect the Crystal Valley and River. But can you imagine a community at, say, a peak population in Marble of 25,000 people?
You know, I was recently told that history while doing a Jeep tour. My parents were visiting, and it was difficult to imagine.
Yeah, right. And
oh, man.
Can you imagine at least one big reservoir on the Crystal River? The other dam that was proposed was the Placida Dam, and it was proposed to be built right before the Marble turnoff from 133. And had that reservoir been built, it would have backed water up almost to Marble.
Wow. Wow. I guess may we never forget the lessons of our predecessors.
That's right.
The actions of a few can turn into the actions of many.
And another important chapter that I write about is the Coal Basin Reclamation Project.
Yeah, can you tell me some more about that?
Well, Mid-Continent Resources that did the mining up in the Coal Basin west of Redstone went bankrupt. In 1991, they ceased operations. But even before they ceased operations, the water, after a heavy rain or melt off, would wash coal fines or coal dust and debris into Coal Creek that reached the Crystal River, and from time to time, the Crystal River ran black, and it was heavily polluted. The fish population died off, but after Mid-Continent Resources declared bankruptcy, then the governments, state and federal governments, moved in to reclaim the land. And ZVEPA oversaw all of this reclamation project. They wanted, ZVEPA wanted a full restoration of the land so that it would be restored or reclaimed to the status of pre-mining operations. Well, you need money. Unfortunately, you need money. And there was a dispute between the state government and the federal government over how much should be spent and how much money should be required of Mid-Continent to put up for mine reclamation. Well, to make a long story short, the federal government thought it would take $16 million to reclaim the land. The state agreed with Mid-Continent's bond that Mid-Continent had to put up for reclamation purposes, which was for only $3 million. And so the federal government and Zavepa really fought this. They thought it was a deplorable act, caved in to the state, and the federal government would not enforce federal legislation that would have required a more extensive reclamation. But anyway, the reclamation was done, and Zavepa oversaw it, and finally, for $4 million, the land was reclaimed. And I've never been up there, but people who have been said it was a pretty good job for the money that was
available.
Provided for it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And again, lasting legacy there. Speaking of history, always a slave to the clock in our last couple of minutes, I want to touch on the event tomorrow at the Thompson House, but I first want to know more about your personal history.
I'm a retired history professor. I taught 32 years at West Texas A&M University, which is in Canyon, Texas, just south of Amarillo. I taught modern British and modern European history. And when Jane and I moved up to the Valley here in the area, I didn't know anything about Colorado history, but I fell in love with Redstone and decided to do some research on John C. Osgood, the founder of Redstone. I was going to write an article on Osgood and Redstone, but it turned out that I wrote a 400 and some page book on John C. Osgood throughout his whole business career.
That's amazing. Wow. I love when articles turn into books. I keep waiting for that to happen to me one day. Well, congratulations on your efforts. And for listeners who haven't yet been to the beautifully recently reopened Thompson House, what's the event happening tomorrow?
The book signing is going to be from 3 to 5. The public is invited. It's going to be a very casual affair, and I'd love to talk to people. So come on out.
That's fantastic. Anything else that listeners should definitely know about the book or the history of this place that you just feel, if you're going to call this place home, you need to know that didn't come up in our conversation?
Oh, goodness. Well, the valley, the Crystal River Valley, is one of the most beautiful valleys in the state, maybe in the nation. And I'm just so happy that Zavepa was able to preserve it. There are a lot of problems, a lot of issues yet, but at least the river is secure for the time being. Let's hope it continues.
And running clear. Oh, broke my heart to think of it running black. Well, Daryl Munsell, thank you so, so much. And congratulations on protecting a valley and saving a river. Sounds like quite an achievement, and I look forward to finding it.
Thank you.
Cheers.